Our first gospel in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament, usually the one that's most read and presented when we look at messages. We're looking at the story, a familiar one, of Jesus. Jesus walking on the water. I almost spoiled it and told you something else, but I held off on that. Because it's actually not the miracle that happens here. There's another one in the story, and I think you'll enjoy what it means for us. If you're there then, everybody got it? That has a scripture with them? All right, verse 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is your word that heals, strengthens, encourages, renews, blesses, and establishes. I ask that you would speak your word now, that whatever we need to hear from you, no matter what that message might be, speak it to us now. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Move in us. Challenge us. Increase us in the faith. Lord Jesus, be glorified now. Come to us and bid us come to you. Meet with us now, that your purposes may be fulfilled. I do ask you this in the name of, above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, that the words in my mouth and the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. You ever told a good story? A story that some people didn't believe? And yet, you were the only one who experienced it? And they said, oh, come on. That didn't happen. I've had a lot of times like that. I can tell you a time when the Lord told me some things in July of 2001. He said, in August, every day for a month, you're going to see a miracle. Healing, something like that, through the ministry of the church. And it happened. I mean, one day I was working in an open-air market at the time, and a lady came up and said, Preacher, I got to tell you something. I said, what? Said, you know, the lady we've been praying for, bedridden with cancer, they gave her 2 weeks to live? I said, yeah. She said, they took her to the doctor today, and it's gone. And I said, it's gone? Do you mean she died or she's healed? And she said, she's healed. And you could tell how excited she was. She said, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And every day, something like that would happen. It was incredible. And now that sounds exciting, doesn't it? But you weren't there. So you don't know. Just have to take my word for it, won't you? Were we there when Jesus walked on the water? No. Who was? The disciples? Yeah. They had a story, didn't they? Here comes Jesus walking on the water. We were scared, and here He came, and it was Jesus. We thought it was a ghost. And He came walking up to the boat, and He came into the boat, and it got all quiet. Calmed the waves and the winds for us. It was really amazing. One guy said, that isn't how it went. He said, who are you to talk? You don't know anything. He said, I don't care if I'm dumb as a brick. My name's Peter, and I know what happened. He came walking on the water, and He told me to get out there with Him. And I walked on the water too. Now you yell that to someone, and you're going to think you're crazy. But He had a story to tell, different from everybody else, didn't He? And why is that? What was so different about that man that he had a better story? Let's take a look. Jesus had been teaching the multitudes that day, and He tells the disciples, I need some alone time, guys. Get on the boat, go across, see a Galilee, and I'll join up with you. So they leave, and He prays a long time. He prays till evening, till it's dark. Matter of fact, it says He came walking on the water the fourth watch of the night. He got His alone time with His Father for many hours. It is very, very important to me, and I hope you all establish in your life some time to get to yourself. Some quiet time. Where you can say, I need to recharge my batteries, to refresh, to get alone with God, to get alone with myself, and just remember who I am again. I try to do that first thing every morning. To remind myself that He's the one who's in control. It's His job, not mine, to run my life. And that starts the day off right. I'll tell you, when I don't do that, the day is rough. Just happens to be that way for me. I don't know about you, but one day without that, and I've kind of sensed it a little bit. 2 days without it, and people who live near me and around me know about it. 3 days, and I miss God's presence in my life. Everybody knows I haven't been there. It's just how it works. So I need that calming, quiet time because it brings me back to the right relationship. God's God, and I'm just a guy here on the earth walking around trying to do His will, not mine. And that relationship is so important for us because if we don't continue to maintain that perspective, you know what happens? We think that we know how to drive the ship. Well, what happens then is Jesus is all right. You guys sail on without me. And I'll be along shortly. And don't you know, there's the disciples rowing the boat. You know, like this, you know. And imagine some of them got a bad back and they're complaining. Peter, you row harder. I'm tired. And it's wind and waves. We're not making much. And they're working real hard. He told us to go. We're going. But the wind and the waves, then He must not have known about that. But we're still going. And all of a sudden, there comes something walking on the water. And they're rowing, the guy's going, boy, I'm working so hard, I'm hallucinating. And the one guy says, it's a ghost. And he says, oh, you see it too? It's a spirit. And they were scared. Obviously, wouldn't you be in the middle of a 30-mile across river, creek, if you will, or lake, and you see someone walking on it in a storm? It says the wind and the waves were contrary. What that means is you're trying to go this way and the wind and the waves are trying to go that way. And here comes Jesus making headway against the speed of the boat. It's amazing that He's walking on the water, but He's caught up to the guys rowing. So He's making some time there. And they see that and they say, I don't know who it is, but it's a ghost. And Jesus speaks and says, it's me, it's Jesus. Well, be happy, it's me. Don't be so scared that it's somebody else. It's me. So don't be afraid. And did you know that the phrase, don't be afraid, in the Scriptures repeated more than any other? Did you know that? Old and New Testament. Do not be afraid. Why does God repeat that so many times? Because we're afraid. That's our nature, to not be able to control things and then to get a little nervous. Well, that's what happens. And they see Him, and Peter, a As I said, he's kind of dumb as a brick. He'll say anything at any time, at any moment to anybody, and he doesn't care who it affects. He says, if it's really you, you tell me to come out there with you. And Peter's going, that'll shut him up. And Jesus says, one word, come. Now let me tell you something. And that one word is, I think, one of the pinnacle parts of this story. Because Jesus says, come. When he says, come to you, you know it's him. You know it's not some other thing, some other voice, but the voice of Jesus is unmistakable in your ears. And you don't go, I wonder if that was God. You know. I promise you, when God's inside you, you know it's God. You don't have to go, boy, is that God? I think I feel God. Yeah, you know. Because it changes you when you hear it. All of a sudden, you start getting these little tingles, and Peter's getting these tingles, and he's going, ha, see, guys, I'm getting out of the boat. And here's the miracle. Peter walks on the water. He does. But wait a minute. How's he do that? Can you walk on water? Sometimes, I believe it. Especially if it's only a half inch deep, right? Yeah. Performing miracles in this corner after the German lessons there. But I'm going to share with you, I can do it. I did it every winter. We called it hockey. Ice skating. I could walk on ice. But you ask me right now, can I get out on Lake Barkley or Kentucky Lake or any other large, deep body of water and start walking and expect not to sink? I'd say, you're nuts. But Peter didn't say, I can't do that. He didn't think about it. He just got down out of the boat and started walking. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Because I wasn't bid come by the Creator of the sea. He was. And he trusted him. So he started walking. But then something happened. The wind and the waves distracted him from what God asked him to do. And so he started to sink. And isn't that the case when we start being obedient to God and all of a sudden we go, oh, I've never done this before. I'm scared. I've never been successful doing what God wants me to do. I'm not sure if I'm even doing the right thing. And all these questions come up. Can I play that? Can I sing that? Can I do that? Can I read that? Can I know that? Is it possible I could be blessed that well by God? And we start wondering about our own capabilities. Not God's. Our own. Remember, when we're doing something for God, we don't question God, we question us. God, I know you asked me to do something great, but I can't do that. You know what God says when we say that? The same thing he said to the Apostle Paul when Paul was having some troubles. He said, good, your weakness is my strength. That's how my strength is made perfect, is in your weakness. I want someone who can't do it, so that I get the glory. That's what God says. And so he says, press on. Press on. Because at the moment when you feel that you cannot do it on your own ability is the moment you get rescued. And Jesus stands you up and helps you to continue. Better than stronger than before. Now, as you think about this story, that's what happens. Peter's crying out, save me! I don't know about you, but I'd be swimming, you know. I wouldn't be shouting. I'd be going, I'm swimming these waves. Of course, now, we can't swim in waves like that. It sooner or later will overwhelm us. This man is a fisherman. And if he believes he can't swim in that, you know it's bad. He's a man of the sea. He says, save me. I'm going to die unless you save me. And Jesus immediately lifts him up and stands him on the wind and the waves. And he's standing there. He's not in the boat. And the water has not calmed down a bit. As a matter of fact, that boat, they're still struggling over there. They're probably looking at Peter like, who's that? This guy's crazy. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're no longer able to feel safe in the boat. Because the waves have not calmed down yet. And they've still been struggling just as hard. Now they're a man short. And now they see Jesus and Peter standing out there and they're talking over good times and they feel like they're going to die. Isn't it true that sometimes God asks us to do something and it seems too difficult? Or, I can't do that. Well, you know, God doesn't ask you to do something to embarrass you. God will never do that. It says that at the moment of your trial, He will give you defense and enable you to do what He's asked you to do. God is never early, but He's never late. At the moment of your surrender is the moment He gives you the power. Not before. And not after, at that moment. And what's interesting to me is Peter's now standing next to Jesus on this storm, and Jesus has His hand. I don't see Peter anymore going, "Get me in the boat." He's not doing that. He's now standing there with Jesus, holding His hand. And that's all he knows, is that Jesus has saved him. Now, what it says in the next verse is, they go to the boat, and as soon as they get to the boat, everything calms down. But listen to this. Would you rather have been, as Peter, rescued and put in the boat, or rescued and standing on the wind and the waves with him? I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be. I don't care if it's in a hurricane, if He says, "I'm here," I want to be there. Doesn't Jesus most often come to us in the midst of our storms and our trials? Isn't He found in the fire? Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that where He's found? Is in the trials of life? So do you want to sit in the boat and not take a risk when He says, "Come," and say, "Oh, you know, no big deal"? Or do you want to take a risk? It's a good question. But think about this a week later when I began and they were talking about this later. Oh, Jesus came walking on the water. Peter went out there and stood with Him. It was pretty cool to see it. When Jesus got into the boat, we got unscared. When Jesus came near us, we were no longer afraid. Sometimes Jesus has to come near us to calm us down. Sometimes He calls us to come out to Him and calm us down. But listen to Peter's story. You want to hear a story? A guy who likes to talk, here's what he says. "I was scared. And I said, 'If you really want me to come out there, you tell me to. And I'll go.' And he said, 'I slipped over the rail of that boat. I thought I might go under, but you know what? I started walking.'" And he's talking about this like this is a big time thing. "I'm walking on that water and there's Jesus and we're together." And he said, "Then I got scared. Because I wasn't looking at Jesus anymore. And what He asked me to do. And I started looking at the water. And I said, 'I can't do this. This is a storm. I'm a fisherman. I know all about this. I can't survive this.' And as soon as I started questioning my ability in Christ, I started to sink." He said, "But then just as I started to feel like I was going to die and cried out, He lifted me up and I stood on the waves. And I don't know how it happened, but them waves couldn't affect me. That storm could blow as hard as it wants, but I'm safe. I'm no longer in jeopardy, and I'm still in the storm because Jesus was with me." When we got back in the boat, it all quieted down. You know what those other guys said? "This looks like the Son of God." And Peter said, "I know He is. I experienced His deliverance before the storm ever ended, and I knew everything would be all right." That's a better story, isn't it? I'd like to be a Peter like that, but guess what? I don't like deep water. I like to fish, but I don't want to get out of the boat and try to walk on water. And I certainly don't want to swim in water that's over my head that I don't know. It scares me. And when it gets dark, it was dark. Guess what? I'm afraid of the dark. Not as afraid as I used to be, but I'm afraid of the dark and deep water. You think I'm going to get out? No way. But if Jesus says, come, what voice am I going to listen to? The voice of Jesus? Or the voice of fear? Or the voice of self-doubt and anxiety? Well, what am I going to listen to? Who runs the life I live? I promise you, if I hadn't prayed up that morning, I probably won't listen to Jesus too well. I'll be thinking, I can't do this. There's a devotional I get every day, and one day it talked about risk. And it said something like this. It says, whenever you begin to take a risk, get ready for some resistance. Your old beliefs and your messages from your past will say, this cannot be done. The question is, will you listen to those voices? Or will you allow them to immobilize you? Or are you going to move forward in spite of your fears? And when that question was asked of me, I thought long and hard about something God asked me to do. And what I found out is that God had a purpose and a plan for my life that I was not aware of. When He told me what it was, in December last year, I became on fire. I became so focused on it that when people talked to me, I'd switch the subject back to what I thought my purpose was. And from that point on, God began to bring people and places together to make that move forward. You see, each one of us is created for a purpose, but it involves risk. You have to trust that God will lead you through, that you trust Him with the outcome. In some circles, we say, let go and let God. In other words, do what God asks you to do and leave the results to Him. Don't invest in the outcome. If God called you to it, no matter what happens, trust that that's what God wanted. When you do that, all of a sudden, the pressure is off you for results. All you have to do is trust. For some of us, that's a lot easier and a lot less worry. All I know is those disciples who stayed in the boat saw a miracle or two, but they weren't involved in it. They didn't get to experience the power of Christ in their life. Peter did. How? He got out of the boat when Jesus said, come. Why didn't the rest? Well, you might think, well, they would have had to abandon ship. I don't care if I'm going to abandon ship as long as Jesus is the one I'm with. The ship can be gone. But Jesus will never leave me. So why is Peter the only one that went out? And when God calls each one of us, He calls us intimately, by name, in a voice that's unmistakable to us. And what is our response to that? What do we say to Christ when He says, come? Oh, I can't do that. I'm not ready. He's never late. He's never early. When He speaks, you're ready. Not He's ready, you're ready. Because He knows your heart. I invite you, as we talked about Peter, that you would have the same kind of willingness to step out in faith onto what God tells you. You might have something on your heart and say, hey, preacher, you know, this really cool idea I got for church, I know a lot of people have listened to it and they think it's crazy, but I want you to hear this. You know, you might have been shot down lots of times, but I want to hear it. You might have said, God's calling me and asking me to get involved in missions, and I hate missions. God's calling me to work on something for schools or for my family, and I don't know anything about it. But He's telling me. Well, by all means, risk it by sharing it. God wants to know that you heard the call. And you're willing to at least say, I'm listening. I promise you, the blessing is greater than anyone Peter ever had from walking on water. Because he's going to meet you where you are, in the midst of your life, no matter how dangerous or treacherous it is. And he's going to hold you up, and he's going to rescue you from lifeless, powerless living. You can trust the boat, but I don't. I trust the master of the wind and the waves. It's one of the reasons I landed here in Cadiz. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing, your peace, and your mercy. As we conclude this service, may we also find your hope and your life established in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us, all you've done in us. And now we ask you would call us to even greater tasks and responsibility. Lord, may our simple answer be, yes, Lord, if it's you, we'll come. Or we'll go. Amen. Well, I always do something a little different to close the service in today's